I Eat Green with Bhavani, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another beautiful Wednesday. Whether it's raining or sunshine, it's a beautiful Wednesday. And I'm here today in the studio with Radha Agrawal. Did I say that right? She's the founder and CEO of Super Sprouts, and she'll be coming on and talking with us in a little while. But first, I want to just share with you what's going on in my garden and talk to you about what's going on in the world. One thing that I actually just want to bring to everyone's attention, I read in Monday's op-ed, there was a really interesting article on Afghanistan's last locavore, as it was called. And it was just an article about how, you know, we went into Afghanistan as if we're going to, you know, save the day and bring them up to speed, you know, so that they can compete in the global marketplace. However, they really already had so much together. They really had a locavore way of living about them. They had sustainable housing that they made with, you know, this type of mud brick that they do. And they, you know, I think 90-something percent of the people there grew their own food. And they also, you know, were not using their resources all up for oil and gas and all that. And we come in and, you know, think we're going to show them a better way. And really we're taking them, you know, they already were living almost off the grid, and we put them right into the grid so that they become consumers of, you know, resources that are not sustainable. And we teach them how to buy and consume and, you know, it's just backwards, and it was just a really great article. I'm not doing justice to it, so I really recommend you all look it up, you know, on the website, New York Times, op-ed from Monday, June 20th. It was a great article, and it really will get you thinking about what we do when we go into a country and whether we're really improving their quality of life or we, you know, trying to bring our ways to them, and our ways might be not the right way. We actually need to go back more the way they were doing it. So it's just food for thought. So I wanted to share that with all of you. And so what's going on in the garden? I had a great week. I had the Girl Scouts come back this past Thursday, and we harvested probably 20 pounds of mixed field greens that they brought to Mama's house. And Mama's house is a local shelter for unwed moms who are supported while they live there and are given a chance to go to school and have childcare and get back into society, I guess people call it. But they never left society. They're just, you know, following a different path. But anyway, they are at this shelter, and they don't always have access to really delicious, organic, fresh greens. So these girls just had such a great time knowing that they had grown this lettuce with these girls in mind. And it was just a really nice, beautiful day, washing all the lettuce. And while they were there, I had made for them a graduation cake, because they're all graduating fifth grade and moving up to middle school. So we had a banana strawberry shortcake, which is the recipe I'm going to share with you all today, because everybody loved it so much. And what else is happening? Sugar snap peas are happening. Swiss chard is happening. Lots of greens are happening. I know I've been reporting back to you about my peach tree and the tree paste that I put on at the beginning of the season. And the tree is looking really great. However, I have to report that most of the peaches have dropped. I guess they couldn't hold on. Maybe I'm just going to skip peaches this year. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like much of the peaches are going to still be there for this season, so I'm sad about that. But my blueberries are happening, and my raspberries are starting to ripen, so there's a lot going on out in the garden. And I also visited the garden that I worked in last summer with the local school district, and they are doing wonderful things over there. It's now called Chaos Farms. It used to be Ruick Farm, but they named themselves Chaos Farm with a K. And they have a CSA that they're running out of there, 20 family CSA, and some women from the community have come in and really helped the farmers there to really, spiff the whole place up. It looks really beautiful. And our local Slow Food Chapter, Slow Food Huntington, is going to be hosting there, along with the National Organization of Italian American Women, a slow food dinner, a seasonal dinner under the stars, actually under a tent, so we can have it rain or shine. They even rented a porta potty, so we can be there out in the field and have a really great time. So that's Friday night, so we're really looking forward to that. Also next Tuesday, there's a Green Drinks on Long Island happening. And Green Drinks is an organization that's happening nationally around the country, so all of you can look up your local Green Drinks organization. And it just brings people together of like mind, people that are, interested in sustainability, interested in the environment, interested in eating well, and brings them together for socializing and networking. So I'm going to participate in that. And tonight, right after the show, I'm heading up to Stone Barns to see Bill McKibben speak. He wrote the book Earth, E-A-A-R-T-H, and also is the founder of 350.org. So I'm really looking forward to hearing him speak later today, and I will let you all know about it next week. So I'm going to share this recipe with you now so that I can invite Radha on to speak with me. And the recipe, as I said before, is a banana coconut strawberry shortcake. And the reason I add coconut, I've given this tip before, but whenever I take out sugar and put in honey, honey is really heavy, and it also changes the consistency of the cake. So if I substitute or add coconut that I first grind in a food processor so it's really fine, it takes on the consistency of the sugar, and I can substitute honey with coconut and not sacrifice the consistency of a flaky, sugary type of cake. So, that's a food for thought, anytime you want to take out the sugar and put in the honey, or maple syrup for that matter. So this recipe, this is what you need. 1 cup of organic unsalted butter, 2 cups of honey, 4 organic eggs, 2.5 cups of organic whole wheat pastry flour, 2.5 cups of organic unbleached white flour, 1.5 tablespoons baking soda, 1 teaspoon baking powder, 1 teaspoon salt, 2 cups of shredded coconut that you pulse in the food processor to make a little finer, and that's unsweetened shredded coconut, and you can find organic. 3 teaspoons vanilla, 2 cups of bananas, which is about 5 bananas mashed, okay? 1/4 cup organic sour cream, 1/4 cup organic plain non-fat yogurt. First, you want to cream the butter in an electric mixer and let the butter really get soft and smooth. Then you're going to add the honey. And when you add the honey to the butter, unlike sugar where it gets fluffier, it almost, it creams together, but it looks different than as if it was sugar. So sometimes it, it beads up a little bit. And that happens with maple syrup too, but that's okay. Just mix it together and cream it together. Then add the eggs. In a separate bowl, mix the next 6 dry ingredients, which is the whole wheat pastry flour, the white flour, the baking soda, baking powder, the salt, and the coconut. And you mix those together in one bowl. And then another bowl, you're going to mix all the wet ingredients, which is the vanilla, the banana, the sour cream, and the yogurt. And then you're going to alternate the dry ingredients with the wet ingredients into the mixer. And when it's all incorporated together, you're going to bake it at 350 for about 40 minutes until a knife comes out dry. And that's how you always want to test a cake. It should start to pull away from the sides of the pan, and a knife inserted into the center should come out dry. You can line the baking pan with some parchment paper if you'd like, and that makes getting it out much easier. But you want to spray the pan, whether you use the parchment paper or not, so that, and also dust it with a little flour so that the cake does not stick, okay? And make sure you preheat the oven. And that's it. Then for the filling, you need 2 quarts of strawberries, washed and dried, stems removed, and then you're going to slice them up. 1/4 cup of maple syrup, 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1 tablespoon of unbleached white flour. And in a heavy saucepan, you're going to combine all those ingredients together and cook them until the liquid is a little thickened, and then you're going to cool it. And so that you can be doing while the cake is cooking. And then for the whipped cream, you just whip the cream up. You put a little maple syrup in it and vanilla and a little almond extract. So it's about a teaspoon. If you use a pint of heavy whipping cream, you would put in about 1/4 cup of maple syrup, maybe even less. I don't like it too sweet because the cake is sweet. So really that's to taste. And then the vanilla, about a teaspoon. And the almond extract is only about 1/4 teaspoon. You want the almond extract to be so subtle that people don't know it's almond, but that it just makes the whipped cream taste so great. And then when the cake cools, you're going to slice it down the middle horizontally so that you're making 2 layers out of it. And then you're going to put the strawberry filling in the middle with some whipped cream and then sit the other layer on top. And the bottom of the cake pan is what becomes the top, so it's nice and flat. Okay, and then you're going to put the whipped cream on top and decorate it with the fresh strawberries and make it look beautiful. If you have a pastry bag, you can, you know, pipe out some of the whipped cream and decorate it and have fun. It's a great recipe. I'm sure all the kids will enjoy it. And that is it for the recipe. Also, I want to let you all know that you are listening to Bhavani at I Eat Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And if you'd like to call in, we are always broadcasting live, and the number here is 888-874-4888. Okay, so now I'd like to introduce Radha Agrawal. She is the creator of Super Sprouts. She passionately believes that the current conversation with children about food isn't working. I agree with that. After joining forces with her identical twin sister, Miki, and helping her open Slice, an all-natural organic pizzeria, Radha became a regular visitor to New York City public schools, where she spoke about nutrition and healthy living. Alarmed by what she saw as a growing obesity epidemic among urban children, she became deeply committed to changing the way children eat. One of the menus she designed for Slice inspired her idea to create the Super Sprouts. This, combined with her years of experience in storytelling as a commercial and film producer, led her to create Super Sprouts. It is her belief that through entertaining storylines, catchy music, and lovable characters, children can see vegetables and nutrition differently. She earned her Bachelor of Science degree from Cornell University, where she also played varsity soccer. My kids also played soccer in college.
Cool.
She currently lives, paints, bikes, and eats locally in New York City. So welcome, Radha.
Thank you, Bhavani, for having me.
Sure. I love your name.
Thank you. I love yours, too.
It's from India, no?
It is. Yeah, my father's from India. My mother's from Japan, so my poor mom always gets the short end of the stick there.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a great name.
Thank you.
So what inspired you to create Super Sprouts?
I mean, in the same way that you at I Eat Green, you know, created this amazing concept around, you know, food and sustainability and an inspiration to get people to really think about where their food comes from. We, you know, I felt that there was a really important need to teach kids early on about this stuff, given that there's been studies that have proven that kids gain their food habits before the age of 6. And so I started writing these stories around Super Sprouts, around these vegetable characters who I ended up calling Super Sprouts, to really get kids through story, play, music, you know, cultural, really, experiences, to really get them excited about eating their vegetables, not having to hide them in food, to really get them excited about eating vegetables.
Mm-hmm. I remember from my childhood, Popeye.
Yeah.
Do you remember Popeye? I mean, he just, you know, he just loved that spinach, and, you know, he became strong about it. And
exactly.
As a child, that had a big, I wouldn't say that had a big impact on me eating spinach, but it definitely, you know, impacted me with the concept that spinach was healthy and spinach made you strong.
Exactly. That's exactly one of our inspirations for Super Sprouts, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just sort of to add to that, each of the superpowers of each character. So Colby Carrot has super sight because carrots are good for your eyes. You know, Erica Eggplant is super smart because eggplant's a brain food. And Brian Broccoli is super strong because broccoli is good for your bones. So they all have superpowers that are directly related to the nutritional benefit of the vegetable. So kids learn in a much more easy manner.
Wow. Yeah. So what are you most proud of so far with Super Sprouts?
You know, I think for me, it's really been seeing the reaction, everybody's reaction, the kids' reaction, parents' reaction, the educators' reaction. We just got our first fan mail last week, which is really exciting. 35 letters from a school in the Bronx who had drawn all these vegetable characters, and we ended up going to their school to do a book mm-hmm. reading. And I'm just most proud of just how well kids are receiving the stories and how it's really sticking and translating to their food behavior.
Yeah, it's a great concept because, you know, most of the characters that kids see don't have anything to do with healthy eating. It's one of the reasons, I mean, as much as, what was that dinosaur's name when my kids were little? The vegetarian.
Barney?
Barney, there you go.
Barney.
You know, as much as Barney could be a little annoying at times, Barney was a vegetarian. How
right.
cool was that? You
yeah.
know, when my kids were vegetarians and none of their friends were, or they didn't know others, it was like so cool.
Exactly.
That this dinosaur character was a vegetarian. And, you know, I could always, you know, when they didn't want to eat their vegetables, I could always bring Barney into the picture and
right.
encourage them to. Actually, my kids really never had a problem eating with vegetables. They always loved them. But, you know, they could relate to Barney because Barney was, you know, one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what are your upcoming and future plans with Super Sprouts? Where do you hope to take this?
So we really want to be sort of the, you know, veggie-cation destination for families. And what we're really focusing now, we have so many different opportunities in front of us, and it's so exciting. But we really want to focus on a few areas. You know, and I think now is a time, you know, for the future, the next, you know, 6-12 months, we really want to focus on creating really exceptional content for our TV show, upcoming TV show, and then get our sponsors there for that, and then also focus on our live events in schools and really get those two buckets really solid so that we can move forward in other areas. But really...
Well, tell me about this TV show. That's very exciting. What's
yeah.
going on with that?
Well, we have 13 episodes for... It's a New York City affiliate that we are already contracted to do, and you know it's a 30 minute episode, and so it's going to be broadcast to 20 million people in and around the tri-state area, but so now our focus is creating really kick butt content for it, and also line up some really great sponsors to make the show happen. So that's really our focus. But the show, you know, the format of the show is really exciting because we're gonna, you know, really bring our characters to life through music, through our puppetry, through the, I mean, we have a whole puppet set and 10 characters. And
so is it animated or are there puppets?
It's a thing like Sesame Street for nutrition and wellness. So it's puppets mixed with live action, mixed with, you know, humans, mixed with animation. So it's a whole kit and caboodle of fun stuff. Throwback. Yeah,
that's wonderful. And so I'm sure you hope that it goes beyond just the
area.
Right?
We really want to make this national. We're just launching now, but we're talking already to a few folks who do want us on their show. So
it's great.
Yeah,
you know, because my kids are older, I really haven't watched Sesame
yeah.
Street and things like that in a long time. But I did see it last year, I guess, and I was really happy to see that, you know, there's been some changes. For instance, Cookie Monster is no longer Cookie all the
right,
time.
Right.
It's, you know, Cookie sometimes.
Right.
You know, Cookie is a sometimes food,
yeah.
and vegetables and fruit are
absolutely
all the time foods. And,
absolutely.
You know, and those are the things that I also try to promote. I mean, you know, if parents, when they meet me and ask, you know, so your kids never ate sugar? It's like, no, my kids ate sugar. But they ate sugar that was homemade
exactly
by me with organic ingredients, so that the quality was superior and delicious, and it was an activity, and it was made. You know, I also talk about the secret ingredient of love, and I know a lot of my listeners have heard about this. But when you are making something for someone, and you are knowing who you're cooking for, and you're thinking about them as you're preparing, and you're putting your heart and soul into it. You're putting your love into the food, and that's a secret ingredient that, you know, you go out to eat, even if you buy a homemade cookie from, you know, Tate's,
right?
You know, like the, you know, that's in every deli now. You know, who's making it, and who, you know, and are they rushed, and are they, you know, stressed, and it's the regular job. You know, it's different than if your mom or grandma is in the kitchen cooking it for you.
It's funny that you say that love is one of your ingredients. Actually, on, we have a pizza box that we are launching, and we did launch as well last year, Gourmet Garage, and a few other great stores, and one of our ingredients on our box was love, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's funny that you say that. So that's absolutely our ethos too. And I think, you know, just sort of to talk about these other shows in detail, you know, I think all these shows are so wonderful, but I think for me, where we wanted to really dig deeper was really, again, reconnect kids to where their food comes from in ways that was more than just, you know, don't eat cookies. It was more like, well, hey, where does this come from? How does it grow? What season does it grow best? What does it do for your body? What superpowers does it give you? So for us, it was really, you know, really focusing on the food literacy piece, not just, you know, the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, you know.
Right. So, So is there a place where there are desserts in your superpowers?
So, you know, we do actually have like oatmeal carrot cookies, and we do, of course, promote, you know, the concept of, you know, eating, you know, sweets in good measure.
Right.
But we do have our bad guys. Our bad guys are Processa, the processed queen, Junk and Greasy, their sidekicks, and Pompous Pollution, who's one of the evil henchmen.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, so we do talk about processed foods. We don't say don't eat cookies. We're saying eat cookies in the way you say eat cookies, you know,
right,
with ingredients that are responsibly made.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so great. So, you know, what character represents the feedlot?
I think that would be, I think Pompous Pollution, you know, is probably at the helm of the feedlot, you know. And part of the reason why we became vegetarian, why I became vegetarian as well, was for that exact reason, is these incredibly scary factory farms. It's like the Auschwitz for animals.
Right.
That's what I call
it,
you know. But we're
Auschwitz for animals,
which sounds really sad, but we really, you know, we're not like anti-meat. Even if I'm a, you know, vegetarian, and everyone, we all advocate vegetables, you know, if kids want to eat meat, that's totally fine, you know. But we're just pro vegetables. We don't really necessarily talk about meat, but we just really want to emphasize the benefits of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great, because
yeah.
I am, you know, embarking on a new project myself. I am going to be the senior chef at a new wellness or healthy center for girls out on
Long
Island called Oh My Girls, and it's focusing for, you know, girls between the ages of 8 and 18. And the idea is to have a place that girls can go and feel safe and learn about being healthy and healthy lifestyles and take yoga and take Pilates, have chat rooms, smoothie bars, and also learn how to cook.
I love that.
And I love it too. And so that's why I, you know, agreed to be a part of this project, and I'm really excited about it. But we were just talking today about how do you teach girls about healthy eating and healthy choices, knowing that they're not the ones making the choices yet? They're still going home, and their parents are the ones making the choices. And you don't want to offend anybody.
Sure.
You don't want to make anyone feel like you're judging them.
Sure.
And yet you want to encourage them to make better choices.
Absolutely.
And so it's always a very fine line that we're dancing to encourage kids, you know. So I don't want to say, you know, you don't want to ever buy meat from a feedlot, but I want to say, you know, some animals are raised in a healthier, more sustainable way, and they're allowed to walk, you know, and those are the kind of meats that you want to try to, you know, encourage your mom to buy.
But, you know, oftentimes I think the biggest issue is that parents don't know, you know, or they don't know where their food comes from. They don't even know what a real carrot looks like oftentimes, you know. And so, you know, I think our responsibility, I think what makes it so exciting with your Oh My Girls, yeah, and we actually just got a farm as well. It's called Slice and Sprouts Farm. It's 3 hours north in upstate New York, and we're going to be growing all of our produce for our restaurants, and also doing camps out there for kids and whatnot. That's really exciting too, but we should totally collaborate there.
Yeah.
But again, I think, you know, a lot of the stuff is that the kids are getting so much more, and parents too are so much more disconnected from where their food comes from. So if we can just teach them and say, hey, this is how they're being grown. Like, I don't think parents are going to want to eat, you know, cows that have come from, you know, living on a farm where they've lived their whole life in their own feces. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they know that, you know, and I think that's really our responsibility to share that information, and they can interpret it how they want.
Right. You know, unfortunately, consciously, sustainably raised meats are more expensive. And, you know, and very often I get the feedback, people feeling like, you know, promoting organic or sustainably raised meat is elitist. And
I disagree.
Well, I do too.
Yeah.
But I do try to encourage people then to just buy less of it.
Exactly.
Still buy the good quality. And that satisfies both things. Because
right.
I think all of us, or when I say all of us, those that still are eating meat, need to transition into being more flexitarian, meaning eating less of it and of higher quality. And that if we all start demanding consciously raised both produce, dairy, and meat, that we'll be going more in the direction that we need to go.
Absolutely. And actually, we have a price comparison on our website that shows, you know, what a family of five spends at McDonald's and what they would spend at a grocery store to buy consciously raised meat. And it's actually the same price. You know, it's just the time that parents have. Oftentimes they don't have any time because they're a single parent who's cooking for, you know, for a family of three kids or, you know, whatnot. So, if you actually take the time to cook and to find the deals and find the meat, and find the different produce consciously raised, I do think that there's equal between McDonald's.
Right, and you do have to shop around. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm not a one store shopper because I have to price compare.
Exactly.
Because,
us too.
You know, I grow whatever I can in the season, but I live in New York, so I can't grow year-round. You know, I'm going to try to set up a hoop house this fall so that I can extend my growing season, but I haven't gotten to that yet. So, you know, so when I do shop, I try to buy what's in season, specialty. You know, I was just talking about to Oh My Girls today during our meeting, how, you know, when strawberries are at their peak, buy up cases and freeze them.
Exactly.
You know, get them when they're in season. That's also when they're going to taste best.
Exactly.
And we can freeze our own. We don't have to buy somebody else's frozen strawberries.
Right.
We can, you know, get some right directly from the farm that's unsprayed. Because strawberries, I mean, I've passed out the list of the Dirty Dozen from the Environmental Working Group. I'm sure you're familiar with that. It's the list of the 12 most important vegetables to buy organically because they are the most heavily sprayed vegetables and fruits. And strawberries is on that, you know. So it's really important, you know, along with peppers and, you know, a bunch of other vegetables. I have a list here with me. But it's really important for people to know that. So, you know, while I'm saying it, let me just tell you again, it's the environmentalworkinggroup.org. So it's EWG.org. And you can get the Dirty Dozen list right there. They also came out, and I put this out in my email blast this week, they also came out with a new report on sunscreen. As to what sunscreens really work and what sunscreens are really carcinogenic.
I saw that.
And so that's also...
There's
quite a few, but they're none of the ones like Coppertone or Banana Boat or none of those. Alba Organics has some. Eco Sunscreen is another one. There's a bunch of them. Badger I think you can get in a regular pharmacy. I've seen that. And I know my wholesale natural food place didn't have it. So anyway, there's a whole list, but it's really worth looking at because people don't think of skin as being their largest organ.
Absolutely.
And so what you put on your skin, I mean, you know, and I really think of You know, we don't know what causes all the allergies that kids have now, or all the autoimmune things.
I can think of a few.
Yeah. I mean, you can speculate, but no one knows, because no one really has the money to invest in the testing, nor be able to get that control group controlled enough
that
you could really test any of these things. But you have to imagine what things are different now that weren't around, you know, 30 years ago. And the level of chemicals that people are putting on their bodies is, you know, one of them, as well as all the things we're ingesting and the, you know, pesticides, herbicides, all that stuff. So it's just all food for thought. So, you know, the more we can all clean up everything we do, you know, that we put in our body, on our body, in the soil, you know, for us to do it, you know, so
it's
really important.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite vegetable?
You know, it's funny that I put that on that list because, you know, we created the Super Sprouts, the 10 characters, because those are basically all my favorites. And, you know, as a half Indian person, I grew up on, you know, onions and garlic and garbanzo beans. And, you know, and as a Japanese, you grew up on, like, the seaweeds and, like, all the other kinds of mushrooms and shiitakes and those kinds of things. So we have a gamut of them. But for me, what I crave the most is broccoli. I just love broccoli. Yeah,
it's definitely one of my favorite too. I have so many broccolis in my garden.
You do?
Because
I'll have to
yeah,
come check it out.
Because, you know, I just can't. I never was able to grow enough. You know, we eat a lot of broccoli. So
yeah, it's also, you know, the superfood. It's like the best food for you.
Yeah. What other characters do you have? So you have broccoli.
So we have Brian Broccoli, who's super strong. We have Colby Carrot, who is super sight. We have Geeta Garlic. She's Indian. She's super sweet with all of her onion, because onion and garlic are good for your heart. Erica Eggplant is super smart, because eggplant's a brain food. We have Mickey Mushroom, who's super soothing, because mushrooms are medicinal. We've got Zach Zucchini, who's a super swimmer, because zucchini is a hydration vegetable. We've got Sammy Spinach, who's super stretchy, because iron is great for lubricating your bones and makes you feel limber and stretchy all over. And then we've got Todd Tomato, who's super safe, because tomato's a cancer fighter, so he protects you from, you know, from the bad guys and from cancers. And finally, we have got Susie Sweet Pea, who's super speedy, because peas give you lots of energy. So those are our 10 characters.
Wait, do you anticipate bringing more vegetables
on? Oh, yeah,
on?
Definitely. Like Billy Beet. We love the beets.
Brussels sprout.
Yeah, Ariel Artichoke. Alan Avocado.
So they'll come in as guests?
Yeah, exactly.
Guest appearances?
Broccoli Rob will probably be one of them, too. Yeah, or Okra Winfrey. We have a few funny ones. So, yeah, the puns can go on and on.
Oh, that's funny. I'm going to start thinking of some to send them to you. So can you offer any healthy tips for parents before we take our break?
Yeah, I think for us, for us, what we found is that, you know, kids who are picky eaters and are used to eating sweets and sweet fruits, they oftentimes find that their kids don't like the sort of the taste of vegetables. So my biggest advice is, keep trying with your kids. It takes 10 times at least to get your child to try something new. And so just don't give up, even when they're like, I don't want this, I'd rather go to bed starving. Just keep trying, because they'll eventually come around, especially if you tell a story. And that's the other thing, is there a lot of other tip is, if you tell a story, you know, read one of our books before mealtime. We found that kids are a lot more susceptible and excited about eating vegetables, because they're already excited about the story and the superheroes and the superpowers associated with the vegetables. So they actually ask for vegetables at mealtime.
Well, my tip for what I've always done is, I have a story about how, it's not even a story. I just talk to kids about how when they get older, their tongues change. Just like the rest of their body's growing, their tongues are growing.
That's great.
And so their taste buds change. And so every time you have to keep trying, because when you taste something that you didn't used to like and all of a sudden you like it, it means you're getting bigger and you're getting older, and they all want to get bigger and older, and so they're like looking forward to, like, when will I taste this and it tastes good, you know?
That's great. I love that.
So I use that as far as something for them to look forward to, like, you know they're going to grow up and they're going to be able to like all these things that they don't think they like.
That's great.
So that's really,
really
great. Anyway, we're going to take a few minute break. Everyone, I've been speaking with Radha Agrawal from Super Sprouts, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thanks.
the Progressive Radio Network each day for the best progressive minds in the world.
I've been on radio for 37 years, every day, and I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one form that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking.
Driving you crazy? Do you have a cheating boyfriend or girlfriend? An ex you can't let go of? An obnoxious boss? Adult kids who won't listen? I'm Hollis Polk, and I fix relationship problems. Your life, your relationship with Hollis Polk offers you practical solutions for all sorts of people problems. Listen and call in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, or download the podcast at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN, I'll be revealing secrets, deceptions, and hoaxes of the medical cartel. I've been covering this waterfront for 30 years as a reporter, and I know where the bodies are buried. With guests and commentary, I'll rip open the lid on vaccines, psychiatric drugs, the FDA, pharmaceutical companies, germ research, and media cover-ups. Don't check your brain at the door. Tune it up. Every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern on PRN, The John Rappaport Show.
This is the number one radio station for progressive independent thinkers, the Progressive Radio Network.
Everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm here with my guest today, Radha Agrawal from Super Sprouts. She's the founder of this great, great company that has all these great books with superhero vegetables. And I'm actually going to read just a few things from the book because they're really great. The pictures are wonderful. I wish I could show them all to you. But actually, Radha, why don't you tell people where they could go online and see your stuff?
Okay, yeah. They can get us at supersprouts.com, and Sprouts is SPROWTZ.com. That's supersprouts.com. They can also get us on Amazon. We're also in the Strand Bookstore, at Slice, at our restaurants, at Children's Museum of Manhattan. We're in about 30 different places in New York. You can see all the different places that we're on our website under locations. But definitely can get them on our website, supersprouts.com.
Thank you. So this book is The Super Sprouts Origins.
It's the first book in the series.
This is the first book? Okay, and you have, let's see, the super
Rain.
Secret. Rain, she's 10, she's 4'4", she lives in the city, she likes to play soccer and bike, and her mission is lightning strikes Rain's rooftop greenhouse. What will happen to her beloved vegetables? So this is a story about Rain, who notices that her roof is, dirty and struck by lightning, and that there's no vegetables on it at all, or there's nothing on it. She wants to do something. So she says to her grandpa Wise, she had said. We have a great big roof, but it's a sad and empty roof. Can't we build something sparkly and green? I have an idea, said Grandpa Wise with a smile. Grandpa Wise and Rain spent all spring planning and building the greenhouse. They called it the Great Glass Greenhouse. And great pictures. Who's the artist?
Archie Valdez. He's amazing, and couldn't have done it without him. He churned out all these three books in 4 months.
But this isn't a story about the Great Glass Greenhouse. It's about the seeds that Rain and Grandpa Wise planted in the greenhouse. Rain spent all summer watching the itty-bitty seeds grow into a rainbow of brightly colored vegetables. Rain loved her veggies so much that she even gave them names. She named her reddest tomato Todd Tomato, her orangest carrot Colby Carrot, her purplest eggplant Erica Eggplant, and she named all of her other vegetables too. Ah, this is how they came to birth. She even made up songs for them. Oh, maybe I should let you sing it. I love you, Miss Eggplant. You're the smartest of plants, so I'm calling you Erica, and together we'll dance. One day as Rain was watering her plant friends, splishing and splashing, she heard a crack, crash, boom. Suddenly the clouds turned from a marshmallowy white to a menacing gray. Uh-oh. Crash, crack, boom. Rain ran for cover as fast as her legs would carry her. She had just reached the stairwell when a huge bolt of lightning struck the great glass greenhouse. Oh, no. What would happen to her vegetables? I'm going to stop there. You're going to have to get the book. This is the first book in the series. It's called The Super Sprouts Origins, created by Radha Agrawal. It's great. And Archie Valdez is the artist.
Yeah.
They're just great pictures. So this is really exciting. Brian Broccoli, were you guys also at a New York Coalition of Healthy School Food
We were.
Fundraiser?
Yes.
Peter Max?
Yes, absolutely. Were you there?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Yes, but not, I was there this year and last
so
year.
So was I. But we were there this year with our puppets, walking around with our puppets. Did you see us with our puppets? You must have.
I think so, yeah. I made the stir-fry noodles that were being served in the little white box
with
the chopsticks.
I loved it. I had like 6 servings, I must say.
That was
mine. That's amazing.
That was mine.
This is so fun. So we have so much in common.
So tell me about the museum exhibit you're doing with the Children's Museum of Manhattan.
This is one of the most exciting dream come trues for me. And it's the Children's Museum of Manhattan. They're putting on a permanent exhibit called Eat, Sleep, and Play. And it's going to be featuring the Super Sprouts. And it's an exhibit that's going to open this November. And there's a whole section in the Eat area that's dedicated to the green carts and the Super Sprouts. And so you can learn and play games and crawl through crawl through these areas and slide down the Super Sprout slides and learn about the vegetables, all the Children's Museum.
Oh, and that is just great.
They're replacing their
Wizard
of Oz.
So can you get into lots of different children's museums?
So, I think the idea is, this would be a great place for us to start, and then we would love to do, exhibits all over the country that really showcases vegetables and eating and sleeping and playing in a really fun way. So hopefully this exhibit goes across the country.
So it's exciting. So tell me about the Veducation program.
So our Veducation program is really fun. We love to call it Veducation because, nutrition education is one thing, but vegetables have the most nutritious, stuff in it. So we wanted to call it the Veducation program, and it sounds fun. It's a curriculum that we have developed with the help of nutritionists, dietitians, child psychologists, educators, and so on. And parents to really put this program together, and we're now offering it in schools, and we're going into schools. We were in an amazing school yesterday called the Bronx Lighthouse Charter School, where we did a 45-minute session of our education program, and the kids just ate it up, pun intended. And it was just we did exercise workouts, and it was a whole session on the superpowers of each different vegetable. So we're really excited about going into schools and really getting the kids excited about eating vegetables and eating nutritious foods using story, fun, education, exercise, activities, all in one program.
Well, give me a sample. What is a story fun education exercise that you would do with the school?
It's called the Super Sprouts. One of our dances is called the Super Sprouts Dance, and it takes you through. I wish you could see this, but it takes you through all the different superpowers of each character, except using movement. So and song. So kids are learning about the nutritional benefits of the vegetables, not just by learning it and reading it, but also through movement and music. So, you know, Brian Broccoli would be like, you know, I guess I could sing it, but, you know, it's like, I am Brian Broccoli and I am super strong. 1, 2, 3, 4. You lift the weights and dance along. So you'll have him do a bicep curl and tricep curl or, you know.
Do you have the kids have little weights?
And so, no, we don't. But we'll have them do, and then we'll have them run in place and we'll have them do, you know, all. So, like, running in place would be Susie Sweet Peas movement. You know, Erica Eggplants would be turning the page movement. You know, Colby Carrots would be like you know, putting your forehead to your, you know, to your hand to your forehead and looking around. Mm-hmm. So they all have their own movement and all set to this amazing song written by one of our great artists, Colin McGrath. So we're working with some awesome musicians to really add movement and kinesthetics to this program to get kids to think about it in multiple ways.
You know. So how many people do you have working with you? You have the illustrator.
Yeah.
You have
musicians. We have our team. We have our core team members. My business partner and life partner, Bill Levy, who's amazing. He just left his job as an attorney to come and work with me full time, mm-hmm. Which is so exciting. And we have another great team member, Alan Ishak, who's ran advertising agency, you know, an advertising agency for, you know, 20 years, and said, to heck with advertising, I want to do something. Or he still does it freelance, but really wants to do something that gives back. And then we have amazing interns working with us, and we have Alicia, who's running around getting us in events, and you know, our great interns Yao, Sam, Thana, so it's just a really great team, and everyone is so jazzed about it, and it's really cool to see the team grow.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So what is this with Jeff Bridges and the Super Sprouts on a national level? Tell me about that.
So last week, or a week and a half ago, we were invited by Share Our Strength, which I'm sure you know. They're a national nonprofit to end child hunger.
Uh-huh.
They're a wonderful organization, the most amazing people to work with, too. And they invited us to MC an event for their launch event at in Virginia. And they wanted to make their launch event a little bit more interesting because it was set at a school, so there was going to be a bunch of kids there too, like 150 kids there. So they wanted it to be a little more exciting for the kids too. And just seeing a bunch of guys in suits wasn't going to be that exciting. So they invited us to MC the event. So we introduced Jeff Bridges. We introduced the Secretary of Agriculture, Vilsack. We introduced the Governor of Virginia, Governor McDonald, and the Executive Director of Share Our Strength, Billy Shore. So it was really neat to and every single one of these amazing individuals interact with our puppets, and we.
So are these life-size puppets?
They're hand puppets.
They're hand puppets.
So they're between 3 and 4 feet in height. They're pretty big hand puppets, actually. And it was just great because, like, when Jeff Bridges came on to give his speech, he walked right over to our Super Sprouts puppets and interacted with them the whole time. And there was such a great banter between them, and it made all the national press. And so we were in, you know, 200 papers and cover of Richmond Times on the above the fold, and, you know, it was in the Washington Journal as well. So there was so much amazing press around it. I have Share Our Strength to thank for that. They're a great organization.
Oh, that's great. Great.
Yeah.
And I'll have to get someone from there.
Yeah, you absolutely should. They're a fantastic organization. I can put you in touch with whoever you need to.
Great, because I, you know, so much of the work that I'm doing is about food equity and about, you know, most of the people that do not have access to healthy food are children, women and children.
The statistics are remarkable.
Right.
It's like 1 in 4 children are hungry, like, which is, you would never think about.
And, you know, everyone, you know, from, you know, the area where I come from, you know, looks forward to summer or break. Well, for kids, they go hungry. You know, they depend on their school food. And that's their food security. It's their school lunch program. And that's why I am so passionate about their school lunch having to be better. Because if their school lunch is so bad, that's why we have the obesity epidemic and the health issues. And
well, actually, Share Our Strength has a program called, it's called nochildhungry.org. You guys should check it out. And essentially, it's when the kids are in summer programs, they can actually go to nochildhungry.org and get summer meals. So it's a great organization in that way. And also, Scott Stringer's office here in New York is also doing the same thing. They're getting amazing donations from all over the place, big corporations who are giving money to this Go Green initiative that the Deputy Borough President's office is doing, and also doing summer lunch programs. So Go Green is also a wonderful organization. So NoChildHungry.org and Go Green are two great summer programs for lunch programs for kids.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Because a few weeks ago, I went with Why Hunger.
Okay.
Organization, which is similar, I think, to Share Our Strength, you know, and it's dealing with food equity issues and hungry kids, and they had a Harry Chapin Awards night, and they were giving awards to different pilot programs around the country of, you know, recognizing organizations that were addressing the issue and doing something about it. And so it was really a great group of people.
Huh.
We went to a community garden up
that
in the Bronx.
That sounds amazing.
It's really nice.
That's really,
really
cool.
Nice. So do you also have fruit characters? I know we've talked a lot about vegetable characters. What about fruit in our lives?
We have the fantastic fruits. So the Super Sprouts are based in New York, and the fantastic fruits, we're going to meet them in Los Angeles. And so they come together to combat the same bad guys, pompous pollution, Processa the processed queen, and their evil henchmen, Junk and Greasy. So the fantastic fruits are in development now, and so we're developing all the character artwork and design as we speak.
Oh, great.
So stay
tuned. I
thought
you had to have some fruit in there.
Yeah, stay tuned.
And tell me more about the bad guys. I always like the bad guys because I connect to them. Tell me about the bad guys.
So you know, Processa, they're obviously born out of this concept and this metaphor that, you know, they can never die off. Like, pollution never goes away. Processed food never goes away. Junk and grease, you know, is always around. It's just up to the Super Sprouts and up to kids and us to suppress them, to push them away. And so they keep coming back from story to story, you know, sort of as that metaphor that it never goes away. None of these problems ever go away. So
that's just like the school lunch program, you know. I'll go into a school and we'll, you know, work on the cafeteria committee and work, and we finally get iceberg lettuce gone, and, you know, we got romaine lettuce, and we get those Debbie cakes out of there,
right,
and get fruit up there, and then you go away a few weeks later, you come back and they're there again, you know, and you're like, excuse me,
yeah,
I thought we, you know, put those away. It's just amazing, or, you know, you get them to agree on just homemade soups, and then you know, go away and you come back and you see homemade soups are being made with a soup base that is like MSG and artificial color, and they're like thinking it's homemade. I'm going, that's not homemade. Garbage.
So
so they call me the food police.
I love it. Yeah, so one of the ideas that we have for schools, and we're actually trying to really get into the mayor's office, please let us in, mayor's office, is we're really wanting to work with them on their salad bar program, where you know, there's different donors who give $5,000 into these salad bars for schools programs, but kids kind of just, you know, they're successful in some ways, but they can be more successful. So we really want to get our characters, you know, Brian Broccoli pointing at the broccoli in the salad bar, like a cutout of him, and Colby Carrot pointing at the carrots. And so when kids walk by, they see these superheroes next to the vegetable salad bar and get them really excited about eating vegetables. You know, and so that's one of the things that we really want to get in schools, is this sort of story concept around the salad bars.
Okay, well, the bad guys have to combat the salad dressing.
Right.
Because that's the worst. I mean, because I have seen people or schools bring in a salad bar and then put Heinz Thousand Island dressing and ranch dressing and all these art dressings.
Gross.
That are, you
yeah.
know, I mean, you can make a, you know, creamy salad dressing homemade, and that can be okay.
Totally.
But the chemical-laden, artificially colored salad dressings with artificial preservatives is not, is like poison. And then to put that on the salad, you know, it's just horrible. And they don't think of that. They just think, oh, we're putting salad out there. And then, you know, you can have 500 calories just in Russian salad dressing.
It's so funny because, yeah, like, I mean, McDonald's, all of those, you know, fast food restaurants have these big, you know, like, oh, salad bar programs, but then they have these thick, yeah, really caloric, you know, high caloric dressings.
Right. So that's, you know, make sure that your bad guys attack the salad dressing.
Yeah, I love
on
it.
On the salad bars. So you also do live performances, right? So where do you do ones that are in public?
Absolutely.
Or just in school?
Absolutely. Lincoln Center just hired us to do a bunch of shows with them, and that debuts this fall as well. So we have an events page on our website at the Lincoln Center Atrium.
My daughter danced there a few weeks ago with Dave Eckert and a couple guys from Riverdance.
No kidding. Oh, that's
amazing.
And
it was great.
Yeah, we're working with Lincoln Center, who's also a wonderful organization, and they tapped us to do their artists, Meet the Artist series this fall, and it's a number of shows for schools and the public. So our show is our first show is November 5th, and it carries through into 2012. But check out our website at superstress.com to get more updates on our events. And actually, we have a great show this weekend as well at South Street Seaport, where we're performing live a puppet show at South Street Seaport Family Festival down in the Seaport. And you know, Sesame Street, Gordon Elmo are going to be headlining. We're going to be also one of the acts as well. And
Saturday or Sunday?
This Saturday. And then Saturday we go on at 2 o'clock, I believe. I don't quote me on that, but I think around 2-ish, maybe 1:40, actually. 1:40 we go on. And then Sunday, one of our incredible partners at Super Sprouts is putting on this incredible festival in Union Square called Pedal Power, and he's powering a whole concert in Union Square, and it's called Powered by Natural Ass, and it's usually using stationary bicycles to power up this whole concert. And the Super Sprouts, we're going to be there as well, doing a whole water, it's a water conservation festival, and we're going to do a whole puppet show and set about water.
Speaking about water conservation, I forgot to mention also this Saturday, probably right as you were coming out on the Seaport, down in Foley Square, there's a rally to ban fracking.
Huh.
From 1 to 3 this Saturday in Foley Square. So I'm hoping to go, so I hope to see some of you there.
I'll try to
come down to the Seaport, or Union Square is also on Saturday?
No, it's Union Square on Sunday, yeah. And actually it's funny that Ariel, who's the organizer of the event at Union Square, he's all about like the anti-fracking stuff, and he's really big in that movement, so I'm sure he'll be there on Saturday, canvassing for that.
Yeah, Food and Water Watch is sponsoring that rally.
Huh.
And I had someone on from the Food and Water Watch last week talking about fracking, because it's just such an important issue. So, I don't know if you're Super Sprouts guys or your bad pollution guys.
Yeah, Pompous Pollution.
Pollution can show up there.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
Right, I know. The bad guys, actually, they're comedy relief, but they do represent some pretty dark issues.
And, you don't want to burn the kids with that, like I was saying before, because they can't really, they don't really have control of it. It's their parents. But slowly but surely, we educate them, and they bring it home.
Exactly.
That's how, I think back to when I was a kid. It was, myself and my siblings that got my mother to stop smoking cigarettes during the, anti-smoking push. And we'd come home and go, Mom, I don't want you to die, and eventually she stopped smoking,
That's amazing.
So hopefully, Mom, I don't want to die. Please buy me organic meat. Please buy me organic vegetables. Hopefully we'll get that.
Or just eat more vegetables, period. I feel like kids, French fries aren't vegetables.
Right.
Right. So.
Right, you don't have a superpower potato, do you?
No, we don't. And corn either, because there's enough corn everywhere.
Good. Anyway, I want to thank you so much, Radha, for joining us. Again, if anybody is interested, you can find Radha on her website at www.supersprouts, that's SPROWTZ.com. And you've been listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. I thank you all for listening, and I look forward to being with you next week. I have another great guest next week, and more recipes and more garden stuff. So I'll see you all next week. Maybe I'll see you at the rally on Saturday. Have a great week.
Thanks,
Bhavani. Good night.